Our final set of scripture readings this morning comes from Colossians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, also written by the Apostle Paul. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 reads, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on this earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." And from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33, Paul writes, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. This is God's holy word." And with Pastor Eric traveling this week, he is joining us on a pre-recorded video sermon this morning. So if you wouldn't mind turning your attention to the television screens, we will now hear our morning message. Thank you.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be able to share with you this morning by video. I'm either on my way to the Detroit airport or I'm at the airport waiting for our flight to New Orleans for the mission trip with Back Bay Mission in Biloxi, Mississippi this coming week. Yesterday, I had the honor of sharing in the memorial service of Jim Ditzler, former manager at Pilgrim Hills Church Camp, whom I first met in 1979 on a week-long mission trip to the camp. I returned for the following six summers, serving on the camp staff in various capacities. Jim became a lifelong mentor of mine, teaching me both in word and in deed, teaching me about the Christian faith and serving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jim is that one person who instructed me about carpentry and woodworking, electrical and plumbing work, how to fell a tree and drive a tractor, as well as how to organize work projects and lead staff and volunteers. I was blessed to maintain a close friendship with Jim over the years, as he meant so much to me as a mentor and as a friend. I constantly thank God for introducing me to Jim so I could benefit in so many ways from a God-fearing Christian servant leader. Jim took an untrained, conceited, somewhat lazy teenage boy and reformed him into much of who I am and what I am today. Reformed. Reform. Reform means to make changes for the better, often by correcting abuses or improving something that is wrong or corrupt or unsatisfactory. Appropriate words as today is Reformation Sunday, a day in the annual church calendar to remember the Protestant Reformation, a time of great religious reform and renewal. The Protestant Reformation is the historical name given to the religious movement which took place in Western Europe in the 16th century. The movement began as a call for an internal renewal of the church, a desire to reform the practices of the church, practices that were based more on human thought than on scriptural truth. But when the majority of church leaders ignored the call for internal reform, those seeking the reforms began the formation of the new Protestant church. It was on the eve of All Saints' Day, October 31st, 1517, when Martin Luther, a key leader of the Reformation, Luther posted on the door of the castle church at Wittenberg a series of propositions for debate, known as the 95 Theses. From those 95 points of discussion and debate about the church, there arose four distinct movements of Protestantism: Lutheranism, Anabaptism, Calvinism, and Zwinglianism. As the cleric of the cathedral in Zurich, Switzerland, in 1519, Ulrich Zwingli introduced the Reformation in that part of Europe, agreeing with much of the work of Martin Luther, but also going even further with reforming the church. Linked with another reformer, John Calvin, Calvinism and Zwinglianism resulted in the formation of the Reformed Church, a colony of Reformed people, mostly from the Swiss canton of Schaffhausen, immigrated to the forests and the swamps of northwestern Ohio about 1850. And it was in 1852 St. John's Reformed Congregation of Archbold was organized. A little bit of a history lesson of our own church congregation. Another point of history I found interesting this week is about the Bohemian reformer John Huss. John Huss was a priest in the 14th century. In about 1401, Huss got a hold of some writings of John Wycliffe, another reformer. From then on, Huss spoke out in favor of ordinary people being able to read the scriptures in their own language. At that time, the church didn't allow people to hear preaching in their own language. Huss continued to preach only as he was led by the Holy Spirit, as he refused to be silenced. Two quotes of John Huss passed down over the centuries are, one, "Therefore, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death." The aspect of reform. And then second, "Rejoice that the immortal God is born, so that mortal men may live in eternity, the promise of everlasting life." Eventually, the church officials arrested Huss and accused him of spreading false doctrines, of being a heretic, and being disloyal to the Pope. The officials condemned Huss as a heretic, and they led him away to a place of execution outside the city. Huss was urged to take back what he had said about the church, but Huss replied, "I never preached any doctrine of an evil tendency, and what I taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood." Huss had drawn fortitude from the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will be by you it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." John Huss was executed because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Underlying the vast work of the Reformation were five key principles that are known to be foundational to the doctrine of salvation. Salvation, a key focus of the Protestant Reformation. These five principles are known as the five solas of the Reformation. Solas meaning the alones. Sola Scriptura, Sola Fidei, Sola Gratia, Sola Christo, and Sola Dei Gloria. Sola Scriptura, or God's Word alone. It upholds the truth that the Bible is the ultimate authority in a Christian's life and in the ministry of the church. The reading from Romans 15, verse 4. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Sola fide, or faith alone, affirms that justification, being made right with God, comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. The reading from Ephesians 2, verse 8. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works." Sola gratia, grace alone, means that sinners are saved as an unearned gift of God's grace, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Also from the reading of Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Sola Christos, or Christ alone, emphasizes the exclusivity of Jesus' role in salvation. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6, in the reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And then the fifth and final sola, sole Deo gloria, to the glory of God alone. To the glory of God alone speaks to the truth that the purpose of creation, the purpose of salvation, and the purpose of everything is for the glory of God, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 10:30, do it all for the glory of God. The five solas, Scripture, faith, grace, Christ, glory to God, they are the foundation upon which the Christian church is built and from which the faith of a Christian is built. Hear this from a commentary written by William Barclay. One of the great stories of the Christian church is that of Telemachus. He was a hermit of the desert, but the call of God told him he must go to Rome. Rome was nominally Christian, but still the gladiator games went on. Men fought against each other, and the crowds roared with the lust for blood. Telemachus found his way to the games. 80,000 people were there to watch, and Telemachus was horrified. Were these men who were slaughtering each other not also children of God, he wondered. Telemachus leapt from his seat right into the arena, and he stood between the two gladiators. He was tossed aside. He came back. The crowds were angry. They began to stone him. Still, he struggled back between the gladiators. The king's command rang out. A sword flashed in the sunlight, and Telemachus fell dead. And suddenly there was a hush. That crowd of 80,000 realized what had happened. A holy man lay dead. Something happened that day to Rome, for there was never any more gladiator games. The one man had let loose something by his death that cleansed an empire of a sin. A reformation can begin with one person. It need not begin with the nation. A person can begin it in their home, or where they go to school, or where they work every day. If the reform is begun in God, no one knows where that reform will end. In a world gone wrong, would you be a voice for Christ? Jesus is calling for witnesses. He's calling for workers. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when Jesus saw the crowds, Jesus had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Throughout history, workers for Christ have been martyred, killed because of their faith, killed because they would not renounce their faith when faced with death. And the church lives on. I came across a quote this week that speaks to the history of the Christian church, of Christian workers, of Christian missionaries. The enemy can kill us, but they cannot silence the word of God. Will you be a worker for Jesus Christ? Will you share the word of God with others? After I've read that quote a few times, I thought of Charlie Kirk. I know there's a great deal of controversy surrounding the person and the work of Charlie Kirk, the Christian worker who was assassinated in early September. He lifted up biblical principles of faith. He wasn't perfect, and he had his issues of diplomacy. But he was seeking to reform the non-Christian culture lived out at many, if not most, college campuses in America today. Kirk's message and ministry was biblically based. It was faith-based. And I believe he could be an example of a modern-day Telemachus, though Kirk was assassinated, shot without warning. If we see a need for reform, let us pray for direction. Let us pray and seek God's guidance, relying upon the Holy Spirit to give us the words, to help us respond both in word and in deed, working towards reform, correcting abuse and correcting wrongs, improving something that's not satisfactory, that God would be glorified and people would come to know the salvation that Jesus Christ offers to all. Once again, we are reminded from the truth of Scripture through the five solas that is the truth of Scriptures that we are called to live out. On this Reformation Sunday, I encourage us to once again accept that truth of being sent out into the world as a worker for Jesus Christ. Reformers who have first reformed our own lives through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and who seek to reform the lives in the culture around us, that God would be glorified. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, I thank you for the revelation of your word. I thank you for the reformers of long ago and the reformers of today. Lord, give us the courage, give us the strength to not renounce our faith in Christ, but to work for Christ, being a shining light in a world where there is much darkness. We thank you for a sense of revival that is happening in America on college campuses, with youth, with young adults, with older adults. Lord, may this revival, this time of turning to you, be a blessing in your kingdom to your people and bringing glory to you and to you alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
With this being the fourth Sunday of the month, we will have both our initial offering followed by the Imagine Your Faith Building Capital Campaign. Roger will invite our ushers forward for the second offering. At this time, let us dedicate our offerings to God by bowing in prayer. Loving God, thank you for your grace, for loving us, blessing us, and holding our lives together through Jesus. As we give our offerings today, let's do it with thankful hearts, ready to help others, share God's love, and point everything back to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I invite our ushers forward to collect the first morning offering.
At this time, I would like to invite our ushers to come back forward for our second offering this morning for our ongoing building project. Of the $2.75 million budget to date, we have expensed $1.91 million. That leaves a balance of approximately $840,000. Of the built-in and approved contingency funds for change orders and additions, we have expensed $107,000. And that leaves us with $214,000 for other aspects of the project. According to the weekly budget report, we are now less than $41,000 from the total goal of the project. Down to $41,000, and we started needing $2.75 million. The reality of having paid for the project completely is within reach. There's no need to take out a loan or perhaps transfer funds for missions or operating. The faithful giving of you, the St. John's congregation, is truly a testament to your love of God and desire to be the church in today's times by the grace of God. So now, let us all stand as we are able, and let us sing the closing hymn. Our closing hymn is "I'll Fly Away." It is found on page 554 of your red hymnal and also on the monitors around the church. And then after the closing hymn, we will have the spoken benediction. After the spoken benediction, we will have the benediction and song. Our benediction and song is, "We've a story to tell the nations." We will be singing verse 3 and the chorus of that hymn. Oh, and it is found on page number 296, if you would follow along in the red, like to follow along in the red hymnal, and also the words will be on the screens. So let us sing, "I'll Fly Away."
as we depart from each other this morning, let us not be just encouraged by the words of Scripture, but to live and speak its truth to the world, and further be reminded that everything we have is truly a gift from Father, our Father in heaven. Amen.